Off top, did you know that they used to do a tip ball before every quarter in the NBA? Play the music.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
What up, Charlie? Welcome. So we're going to do a playoff team draft of all the available players at some point. But before we get to that, I've been watching a lot of old basketball, and I was shocked that I did not know. And I guess maybe I haven't watched full basketball games from the 70s before, but I was watching full games from the 70s, and they were doing jump balls at the beginning of every quarter. And I was like, hold on. This is how it used to be. Did you know?
I did not know, but even more value for Kareem. His team gets an extra possession every quarter.
That's what I was thinking. It's like, this is a, and he did win. It was a game, I think they were playing the Knicks. And I was like, that probably changes strategy a lot. Because now it doesn't really matter if you get a jump ball or not. It's going to be even. They should just do like in soccer where you just give one team the ball to start with.
Right.
But anyway, another thing before we get to the content of the show. You having a glow up on the internet? You got fans didn't know you were cute.
I'm being objectified online, both positively and negatively.
Just look at the positives.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Just focus on the positives. Seems like, I was going to say the ladies love you, but it's not just the ladies that are like, damn.
No, this is all dudes.
All dudes are like, damn, Charlie got a little something going on. All right, so I'm stalling because I'm nervous.
Yep.
Charlie suggested that today we draft teams to win a championship out of the available NBA players. And he got so excited. And we're going through in the pre-show meeting talking about what we're going to do. And he pulled a Skip Bayless on me. Did you know that when I've done First Take back in the day, Skip Bayless is the one guy who's like, no, I'm not telling you my position. It's like, well, I mean,
You did First Take with Skip?
No, I don't think I did it with Skip. But when I was headed in to do First Take, that's what I was warned of, is like, don't be like Skip. Like, remember that you are trying to do a good show. You're not trying to win the debate. And you were like, no, I'm not telling you who I'm going to take.
I can't give up my draft board.
I was like, I want the people to be entertained.
Belichick would never.
Because that's what we're doing here. We're not trying to entertain people. We're not trying to have a good time. We're trying to draft the best fantasy team ever.
I'm trying to have genuine conversation with my friend about basketball. And if you're not surprised, I've seen you bored on television before. Do you want to be bored on this podcast?
That's fair. But I also know that you are ruthlessly serious about this draft. It is a little concerning to me. You want to coach flag football? I need some intensity.
We'll play a lot of Tampa too. We're keeping everything in front. Those kids cannot throw the ball downfield.
I got a quarterback. I think I got one.
You got one? Yeah, okay. There's the one kid with perfect throwing mechanics. There's really
two. We got two kids who can throw. I was surprised, but we'll get to that later. All right. So how you want to do? You want to do snake draft?
Yeah, I think we should do a snake draft. Okay. And for the listeners, we're obviously trying to take the 10 best playoff performers and draft them, but we're also trying to build teams that make sense. And there's, not going to be bad picks, but my picks will be better.
This is the first time I've ever done this, and this feels like this is something you do every morning when you wake up.
I have a running list on my phone of the top 23 players in the NBA in my notes app.
Ill. All right. Well, since you care so much, I will give you the first pick. I know who you're going to pick. Let's get it out the way.
I'm taking Stephen Curry.
What?
With the first overall pick.
You sabotaged me. You were really serious about this.
You thought I was going to take Jokic, which would make sense.
Yeah.
Because he is having an all-time postseason.
I knew you were going to take Jokic, and then I had already set up in my mind, he's going to take Jokic, I'm going to go Steph, and then Giannis, and I'm going to feel good about my team.
I think if I'm building a roster, I want the one guy who requires more offensive or more defensive attention than anyone else in the NBA. Stephen Curry's playoff record is unimpeachable. He's the reigning finals MVP. He averages 27, 5, and 6 in the postseason. They lost not because of Steph Curry. They lost because the team wasn't as good. And I don't know if I've ever seen a team basically guard the Warriors by just being like, anyone but Steph, I will lose. Like, it's completely unique. He is a human rain cloud.
Yeah. I mean, the gravity that he creates makes the life easier for the rest of the players who still somehow did not perform this year. Steph is a great pick. I just knew he was going to be on my team. I was thinking about the high pick and roll with him and Giannis, and was like, who's going to stop that? Hey, you threw me through a loop. And now I have to take Jokic. because I can't let you end up with Steph and Jokic. That's outrageous. You cornered me off the jump. All right. So, yeah, I'll take Jokic with my first pick. I mean, I don't have to explain why. We're watching it.
Yeah.
I think the thing about Steph is he makes offense easy for everyone around him.
Yeah.
Jokic is the same thing. And I think you could argue, not you could argue, you could prove statistically, at least in the last couple of years, that Jokic is a better offensive asset than Steph Curry.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been as bad on defense as I think I would have argued he was if you had gotten him.
Jokic is having, by all advanced statistics, I mean, by raw statistics, he's having like one of the greatest postseasons of all time. By advanced statistics, his last three postseasons are all in like the top 12 postseasons ever. Like, yeah, it's a perfect pick. He's incredible.
The thing about him that makes him so special, or one of the things that makes him so special, and I think I made the point last show about how I feel like Jokic is an evolution in the LeBron era and like do it all kind of guys. He's not the explosive player, but one of the advantages of having a big guy like that who, I was going to say, can run the offense, but not only can run the offense, can run a top tier, top of the league offense. It's not like when Draymond is the decision maker where we're like, all right, the offense is good when Draymond's the decision maker. I think it's very different in that you're better off. Like, I think you're better off with the ball in Steph's hands and Golden State, I guess is the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
In Denver, just about any offense you could think of, you're better off with Jokic with the ball in his hands, which makes the rest of my draft a lot easier.
It is. Our first two picks ended up being two guys that if you put them on the floor with pretty much any other four guys, you have one of the best offenses in NBA history.
Yeah.
Offensive guys, me and you.
Yeah. And I think
offense first guys.
I think I'm going to go Giannis, my second pick.
Okay.
Yeah. You thought you had me cornered. I got you cornered.
No, they work together.
Yeah,
they're
I know. That's the point I'm making about Jokic's offense. I felt the need to get someone to run the offense at the top of the draft if I had Giannis. Now that I have Jokic, obviously I have someone who can run the offense and be a big and can protect the rim, because that's Jokic's big drawback. I'm not sure what we're going to do with Jokic defensively. We'll figure it out, but we don't need him to protect the rim. Not that he can anyway. But I mean, we don't have to go down Giannis's resume. Like, he's an MVP. He's a finals MVP. He came up kind of small in this year's playoffs, but I mean, was the reigning best player in the league, at least even with Jokic winning back-to-back MVPs. I still think people, as recently as 3 weeks ago, people were saying Giannis is the best player in the NBA. It was about 3 weeks ago when they lost, right?
Covers up a lot of the defensive deficiencies of Jokic. You got a rim protector.
Yeah.
Giannis is a really interesting case because he's amazing. He's the most forceful player in the NBA. He has been clutch in huge moments. For the postseason, though, if you subtract that one run, he actually has a spottier postseason resume.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's okay when you're next to Jokic.
We don't have to subtract that run, though. Okay. How about we just leave that run in
yeah,
there?
Yeah, if doesn't exist.
What do you think about that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Aaron Gordon.
Yeah.
Except a lot better version of that. Like, I feel like...
I'm just the greatest to, compliment ever.
No,
given
I guess I'm just trying to imagine how they work together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think like Giannis does all the things. Like, I'm not sure Aaron's like 3-point percentage, but I feel like he's not a great 3-point shooter. But he's like incredibly athletic for his size, and Giannis is a freakier version of that. All right, so
I'm on the clock. I got two picks here. My next pick, I'm taking the dog. Give me Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
I mean, Steph and Jimmy, I have in Jimmy, I'm getting someone, two-way player, going to get to the free throw line at will. Anytime he's in the postseason, he just ran, well, anytime except for 2 years ago when they got swept coming off the bubble year, he just turns himself into sort of prime Michael Jordan. His numbers the last two postseasons have been outrageous. Ultimate clutch time player. I have two guys, end of the fourth quarter, I feel very good about them.
All right.
For my next pick, I need I'm gonna need a rim protector. I'm gonna need someone who can at least deter Giannis at the rim. I'm taking Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis has been the best defensive player in the postseason. I think he's been incredibly consistent. And I think all of the concerns that we had about Anthony Davis, every other Davis, A. Disney, Bubble AD.
You didn't have to go through all those terrible nicknames.
Street Clothes.
Stop it. That's
Mr.
enough.
Glass.
Okay. We get the point.
Yeah, they were all
bullshit. He's on your team. He's gonna demand a trade now.
I was saying those are all, you know what? You guys, the people who said those names, those funny names, they should be ashamed of themselves. Anthony Davis has been excellent. He's been excellent in the postseason. He was awesome on the Pelicans in the postseason, torching the Warriors, even though series he lost years back. He's my big. You're on
all
the
right.
clock.
All right. I like that. Good choice. Take it back to the Butler decision for a second. All those things are right. Do you have any concern about Jimmy Butler not being the number one option?
No. All Jimmy cares about is winning.
No, I mean from a tactical standpoint. Because I guess what I'm imagining the offense that I see them running now, it's hunt the mismatch for Jimmy, like screen until you get that mismatch and then ISO essentially. And I guess that's a product of
great
necessity.
Let's have him screen the way that Draymond Street screens for Steph Curry. 4-on-3 fast break every possession with Jimmy Butler being the point man. Perfect.
Not bad. All right. So I got two picks and I think I got to go. This problem is that the playoffs this year is going to have you think less of players that I think are actually better. Like I'm stuck with Giannis, even though he's great after a bad playoff year. And I think I'm going to do the same thing with Jason Tatum, who's had a great playoff year at times and then really terrible one recently. So I like Tatum and Devin Booker.
Great.
It's a pretty good roster. Yeah. Devin Booker, I think he's unimpeachable right now. I should have drafted him first. I'll draft him first, just give him more respect and then put Tatum back because Devin Booker on both ends of the floor this year is taking a step up. I think up to like the best version of Tatum type of play. My man KD, I'm sorry, but you're a little old and a little broken. I love you. I wish that I could find a spot for him on the roster, but I think Jason Tatum, we saw him go for 50 not too long ago. I think he's probably the best perimeter defensive player that the Celtics have, despite the fact that
Definitely. That
they celebrate Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart a lot more.
Yeah, defensive player of the year, Marcus Smart. Yeah,
Jason Tatum is one of the best perimeter defensive players, and he's big. He can shoot the lights out. Him next to Jokic, next to Giannis, with Devin Booker. Like, I feel pretty comfortable and confident and I'm feeling good. I was nervous about
team's big.
Yeah, team's big as shit. We are pretty big. We can run a little bit. Jokic can keep up for a couple quarters.
So for my next pick, I'm taking Luka Doncic. He didn't even make the postseason. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. He's a career 32-9-8. Every time he gets to the postseason, we always talk ourselves and be like, oh, he's not James Harden. He gets better in the playoffs every single year. He dragged a mediocre roster to the conference finals. He's hit buzzer beaters. And yeah, I think I got a steal with that pick, if we're going to be completely honest.
I think from a talent standpoint, you got a steal. Mm-hmm. But I thought that Luka was going to be left off because of his defensive inefficiencies and his ball dominant play style. And I guess you would argue that it's a product of what they need, but we have not seen, I guess we saw him with Brunson, but we haven't seen him in an offense where he's going to have to move without the ball.
Yeah.
Like you're putting a lot of pressure on your coach to talk
him. I'm putting a lot of pressure on the defense.
Yeah, you put a lot of pressure on the defense, but I think offensively it's not as smooth a fit as you want it to be. So I think if we're looking at their 2K scores, yeah, he's in the 90s. Steph's right in the 90s. I think Jimmy is in the 90s in the playoffs.
Improving three-point shooter. All of Butler shoots the three well in the postseason. Obviously, yeah. Got Curry, got some space on the floor.
How, I guess I just don't know. I can't imagine the offense. I can't imagine Luka in an offense different than the offenses that we've seen him in, because he does not move without the ball. He always has the ball, but he doesn't move without the ball. All the clutch stuff is right. I would have drafted this team differently if I knew Luka was going to be on it. I know it's a hard time passing him, but I think you made a mistake. I think you made a mistake. Add Luka to this roster.
Well, my fifth man, the guy who's going to stand in the corner, is Kevin Durant. I needed a little bit more size, a little bit more rim protection. He can still play defense in spurts. He's a great shooter. And even though he's gotten not his best past two playoff performances in the last 2 years, as a fifth man, as a floor spacer, as someone we know can play with Curry.
Yeah, he can play with
you know, guy. He's been the second best player on two championship teams. It's led by Steph Curry. So I'm happy with that guy as my fifth man.
All right. What's your roster?
My roster is Luka playing the one, Curry playing the two, Butler playing the three, KD at the four, and Anthony Davis at the five.
It's a pretty talented roster.
Yeah. You have one more pick?
Yeah, I do. I was stalling because I was looking down my list of players and trying to see who fits with. All right, let me go over my roster again. Jokic, Giannis, Booker, Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have like a true point guard, which I guess I think I need at least one, someone to bring the ball up the court. I'm leaning, I guess, Jamal Murray.
Ooh.
Jalen Brunson, Halliburton, who did not make the playoffs. De'Aaron Fox, who did make the playoffs, but I don't think fits what I'm trying to do here. Although he can penetrate and drive and kick. That'd be pretty nice. Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong. I'll go with Jamal Murray, given that he's had the playoff success.
You got a little chemistry.
Yeah.
Jokic-Murray chemistry.
Jokic-Murray chemistry. And also, like, he's a truer. Well, he's actually probably a score-first point guard. But I guess I didn't want this. I want Jokic to run the offense. Mm-hmm. But obviously, he can't guard the ones and he can't bring the ball up the court consistently. So I need someone who has found a way to fit around that. And I think who better to do that than Murray? I just won a championship.
I thought you were going to take LeBron and go team big.
Yeah.
As your one.
I should have.
I thought you were going to go between LeBron and Dame Lillard as your two guys.
Yeah, I didn't want Dame because I really like my team big.
Yeah.
I thought about Dame. I could go LeBron or Murray. But no, I think it's too late. But I think LeBron is just the age stuff.
Yeah,
man.
It's the same. Yeah.
It's the same reason why I passed on KD. I would have grabbed KD if he was still around and we just figured out the one. But
it's the reason I didn't draft Kawhi. It's like Kawhi's been the best player in three of the last postseasons he's played in, but he doesn't make it through any of them. So it's like how you pick that guy and have him not perform.
All right, so the guys we left out, along with LeBron, which is kind of absurd that we did that, but I mean, we're talking about next season. If we could put these five guys on the court next season,
right?
I hate that I put that LeBron's not in this.
It hurts.
It's really wrong. Somebody has to go.
Someone has to go.
Somebody has to go. LeBron needs to be on. All right, forget it. So
you want to pick six men? We can pick six men. You can have LeBron. I'll take Kawhi.
Okay, yeah. We'll do that just in case.
Yeah.
LeBron to Kawhi, six
this
men.
This is when you take the 2K sliders and turn injuries off.
Okay. All right. So no, they're not off. Because LeBron's better than Kawhi. So, yeah, they're still on. You're just stuck with Kawhi. All right, so who else do we leave out? Embiid, left off. Is there any discussion to be had? I was so sure that we're going to have a discussion about Luka, and I was ready to defend it. But Embiid, it's just his playoff performance, because he's obviously a talented enough player to be in this group.
I mean, we have a preponderance of evidence that he has not been a dominant postseason performer in his teams. Look, man, you got to make it out of the second round. And you're an MVP now, and you're coming up short again and again. And you just blew this 3-2 lead to a team that's getting smoked in the conference finals.
Was Draymond Green at all in your
consideration?
Yeah, he was in mine too. I had him in there, but he didn't make it up and pass any of these other players. He's so special.
Yeah.
And also so like.
If I didn't have Jimmy Butler, I would have considered Draymond Green.
Just from
you get a lot of that. You get a lot of those qualities.
You get that mentality. And he's a valuable player too, defensively. If I wanted to go small ball, then I think you have to go. But I went big ball.
Yeah.
The biggest of all balls.
And, I mean, you kind of get the best of both worlds when you have Jokic and Giannis as your big ball centers.
So how do we do this? We're just going to put it up, let people decide who wins?
We're going to put it up on the poll. And I guess not on the poll. We'll put up a graphic online and see. Let the people pick the winning team. By the way, I also have Jalen Brunson on my list, Dame Lillard, Jamal Murray, and Anthony Edwards.
Yeah. I had that. I had a couple other names. Siakam, Halliburton, Bridges. Just like, because I was taking this.
Mikal Bridges, rich man's Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, I was so rude. I was taking this roster construction thing pretty seriously. Where it's like, obviously these players are not as good as some of the players that we left off, but I wanted people to fit. So I had to be ready just in case. But yeah, I had AD and you beat me to that. I think we covered everybody.
Yeah. I mean, this is we're in a really interesting place now because I genuinely think you could have made a case for any of those top four guys to be the first pick. Yeah. You could have picked, and no one would have been upset if you took Jokic, Curry, Jimmy Butler, or Giannis.
I'm surprised you ain't take Big Vic. He doesn't count yet. He hasn't
honestly, if there was a tip ball for every quarter, I would have taken Vic.
He's what, 7'4", 7'5"?
There's a video of him standing next to Rudy.
Yeah, there's a bunch of pictures. They're both French centers, so there's a number of pictures of them next to each other, and he makes Rudy look like a three.
Yeah.
And it's outrageous. Oh, we should mention that you and I got come at by a basketball insider. Told us to cool it on our Big Vic love.
Yeah, anonymous friend of the pod told us that we were wrong about our slurping of Victor Wembanyama, me calling him a potential all-NBA player, and that he's going to get pushed around.
Wozni Lambre is the anonymous guy. You don't get to hide in the shadows.
Okay, I didn't know if he wanted that take out there.
Yeah, all right, well, it's out there now. He said that we were too high on Big Vic, and he don't like young guys and a bunch of other stuff, and that Vic may not even make the team.
Yeah, I mean, he's putting Walker Kessler over Victor Wembanyama, so.
That's what you want to do. Yeah. We got to have Wozni on sometime soon so he can defend his Vic hate. Anyway, appreciate you, Charlie. Good fun. Who you got winning the championship?
Nuggets. Yeah. Nuggets and five.
All right. Roses and thorns.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic liqueur, Barnstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or in a carry-on. And the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/DF today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DF.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
How has Dominique been lately?
Bad or good?
Let's find out. This is Roses and Thorns.
All right, time for my favorite part of the show, Roses and Thorns with my wife, Ashley. Hello, Ashley.
Hello, Dominique.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me again.
We got a nice new graphic. Look at that.
And Oscar said, and it's going to be a little blurry, but don't worry. It'll be great on screen. I said, it doesn't look blurry to me. Yeah, my eyes are bad. I never
know how terrible your vision is.
I'm like, it looks great, even with contacts. It's so crazy.
Well, I'm proud of you. Learn how to put contacts in. That's a rose for you.
So I used to. I try. I've been wearing glasses since I was in first grade. The same. I don't know why that's funny.
Because I was thinking about the pictures of you as a first grader.
So the dumbest part was there are a lot of pictures of me. I never wore them in school until eighth grade when I was taking standardized tests. And then was like, oh, shoot, like the bubbles, they're like blending in to each other. My mom was out of town. My dad had to take me to Our Eyes because we had like a whole week of testing and had to get these new glasses. But I only ever wore them when I thought my parents would see me or I knew they would see me. So I wore them for school pictures. And once I started playing sports, they were reading glasses, by the way. I wore them so I didn't need them for school pictures or for sports. I wore them for sports and school pictures or if there was like a recital. Times where most people would say, I am not going to wear my glasses for these things. I was like, nope, gotta wear them. So my parents think I wear them all the time.
You at sports is pretty funny.
That's so rude.
How's it rude?
I was MVP of the B team. It's been discussed.
Yes, I've been hearing this for quite some time. Emmy had a good sports weekend.
The little one who hates sports scored 3 goals in her soccer
game. She scored 2 last week and 1 the week before.
Yeah, so next week it's going to be 4. Oh, next week's Memorial Day. Speaking of, where are we going for Memorial Day?
Nowhere.
I cannot be stuck at home.
Yes, you can. That's where we're going to be. We went out last week to the finest city. So I want to talk about how much I love the city of Baltimore. Also, we'll get to that eventually in the concert we went to at Bruno Mars, which was incredible. But first, where you want to go for Memorial Day? I don't know why you, it's funny that you have this little thing where you like pretend like it's up to me or you like say that you have an idea. Like we're past this. I learned many years ago that when you're like, I'm thinking about this, that shit is already done.
Well, listen, here's the problem. I'm not doing it because only reason is this, because I do not want to go to Miami for Memorial Day. It is just too, with kids, it is
too what?
Too much. One time we were there with Declan and this was spring break.
For Memorial Day?
No, it was spring break. Right. And like literally he's like 3 and we're at a stop sign. I mean, we were with all of our kids, I guess. I mean, he was 4 and we're at a stop light waiting to cross Collins or something. And like, it's crowded. And so his face is literally the height of the woman's butt in front of us who's wearing a thong bikini. And like he walked away, you know, kids have no sense of personal space. So he walks way too close to her. And then like his head is like right
face
up
in the cheeks.
And I was like, get your face away from this dirty. And this is why we can't go to Miami for really fun weekends. But
I was there for, that was New Year's Eve. Cause like when Levitar's show was down there, it was like right in the heart. And I was down there and nobody wanted to go for New Year's Eve. I was like, no, it's fine. I'll go New Year's Eve. It's so horribly depressing.
And left me home with our 3 children.
It was depressing though. Like anytime I went down there, it was like fun to be with my friends and do the show. But being in where that their old studio, where that hotel was, is like right in the heart of the youngish part of it. Like if you go up further up north, it like gets a little older and a little like wealthier and classier. All euphemisms for other words that nobody's going to say. But Dan's was right in the heart of it. And it's like, you want to feel old is be on South Beach by yourself on New Year's Eve and just people acting stupid. But we were there for Memorial Day weekend.
But we were
that was before we had kids. And it was already too much.
And we were like 27 and like even the flight from BWI, we love Baltimore. But even the flight from BWI Memorial Day weekend had me. I'm never the type to be like, let's upgrade to first class. Okay, like once or twice we've done that, but typically like we're good. I was just like,
it's a short flight.
I know, but both of us, you even were like, you sure y'all want to upgrade? And I think it was like AirTran. It was something where the upgrade wasn't even that expensive. It was like, nah, we got this. Everyone was already in there all white.
But yeah, in that time I ran into like 3 people from my middle school, which was like, I had not seen in forever. Chicola in the middle of the street. Yeah.
Well, so no, I actually don't think we're going to go anywhere this weekend, which is kind of sad to me. The main reason I want to go, I'm awful, is I was putting on makeup today and realized that my face is peeling, like, and I'm getting paler and I just need to get a tan again. But so I don't want to go back down to Miami, but I want to go somewhere close. So I was looking at like South Carolina beaches, like flying to Charleston or something. But it's going to be 71 degrees, I think, and not sunny there. So I'm going to just keep my behind at home. And guess what we'll do instead? We'll go see the Little Mermaid and feel like I'm at the beach.
You're on theme as usual.
I'm always on theme. I'm wearing a mermaid shirt. I don't know if you can tell. I'm so excited. That was my favorite. That and Aladdin.
I was just thinking about something you said. I guess you'll probably get to it eventually. Anyway, go ahead.
A dumb comment. Okay, I'll admit my dumb comment in a second. But those were my favorite movies when I was little. My favorite Disney movies. And
you're just as bad as the Twitter trolls who are upset that the mermaid was black. You are just as bad as them.
No, I'm not. So I'm very excited to see this. I haven't seen many of the live action ones, but I'm super excited for The Little Mermaid. So that makes staying home and having nothing to do a little bit more manageable. I have been ordering the toys for my daughter and for like gifts for her and her friends. I mean, for my cousins, like I'm just obsessed with them. So I saw they had the big box of Ariel and all of her sisters. And my daughter used to love one of the sequels. There's a prequel, probably the prequel, but the second Little Mermaid, I think, talks about Ariel when she was little, the old cartoon one. Mm-hmm. And so it has all her sisters in it. So like Anastasia, like all these people. And my girls used to love it. So I was like, oh my God, there's like a box, a Mattel set that has, like Barbie-sized dolls of all the sisters. So it came. And I was like, honey, I wonder if they've decided to cast like they're adopted because like they don't all look like the same race. But like that's what I was stuck on. Not like I'm fine with the fact that mermaids exist. I'm fine with my son keeps like, how is there a live action one? This is just, how does her lipstick stay on underwater? Like they have all these questions. Good question. But whatever. But my only thought was, how are the mermaids? They look so different. Do they have the same two parents? And I was like wondering if it was like in Cinderella, how the one where Whoopi Goldberg has an agent. But like, I really was all like concerned
about
this.
It's just funny. It's funny that you're very excited that the mermaid, you love the Little Mermaid. You're very excited that the mermaid was
black.
Yes.
And so are most of her sisters.
Yeah. And then we see all the people who were like angry months ago about that. Like, they're stupid. It's a mermaid. What difference does it make? And then as soon as you're confronted, like, oh, what? Her family not black?
No.
I got questions.
They were. I just was. I know. I know. It's very dumb because it's like a very, very, very fake movie. But anyway, I'm very excited. We will go see that instead of going to
Miami or anywhere else.
Yes. Something else you said made me think of, you're talking about our sports weekend. So my son ended. He plays on two flag football teams. One's over. One's still going. But I have a rose. I gave Dominique kind of a rose in advance, and then like it never came to fruition several segments ago, but I have a real rose for him now. That's not what it was. You said like thinking about me in sports. I am about to be a general manager of a flag football team.
Not about to be, you are currently.
I am, or is at least a coach's secretary, because Dominique is officially going to be the real coach for our son's flag football team in the fall, and I am so thrilled. And the other coaches have the nerve to be like, or somebody who with the league was like, the other coach is shook. And I'm like, you're not even making kids try out for your team. It's going to be like Little Giants, except for his team. Hopefully it's going to be the little brother's team, the one that looks really ragtag and bad, but then ends up winning. So hopefully that's what it'll.
Well, you are the general manager, and I'm the GM. I also am. I don't know what's going to happen, but I am currently in a state of mind where it's like, all right, I want them to learn proper skills, proper techniques, have fun, and like take it seriously. But I have a competitive something.
Oh, so you actually want them to win.
No, I don't right now. Because
it
the
makes
thing.
Kids happy. Right. I want them to be happy.
That's what I'm saying. Right now, the thing is, I'm cool with it. Like, I go to their games and they lose, and the other parents are upset. They're upset. And I'm like, all right, well, whatever. It's fine. But I guess what I'm concerned about is once I'm coaching their team, I'm at all their practices, they're running my plays. We're out here. I don't want that part of me to come out. I've worked very hard to tamp that down.
Now that you're talking about this, it's definitely.
No, it's not. I'll keep it under control.
How are you going to feel when all the parents are like, and we know most of the kids' parents, when they're yelling at you like they do current coaches about like playing time or bad plays? Are you still going to be friends with them after?
I'm not friends with them now.
He says the worst things.
Clip that. Let's put it on the internet. I want them all to see it. They need to know.
He has the nerve sometimes to be like, I don't have any friends. I'm like, yeah, you don't have any friends, jerk.
I don't. It's fine sometimes. Jamil was making fun of me.
Yes, I remember
that. One of my former teammates was at, we went to Bruno Mars in Baltimore, or we went to Preakness, which was incredible. We saw the race this year, which last year we went to see Lauryn Hill, and we did not see the race. But this year we saw the race, and it was really fun. I'm glad
accidentally got there too early for this Bruno Mars.
But I enjoyed it.
It was fine.
I enjoyed it.
It was okay.
It was great.
National Treasure won.
It was great. Oh, nice. Look at you. Paid attention. The race was great. It was nice being at back at Preakness during the daytime because it reminded me of when I was
hanging out with your grandma.
Yeah, my grandma, when she would babysit me sometimes, she'd take me to the Preakness.
Well, or to Pimlico. She did not take him to Preakness. Let's stop. She took him to Pimlico. To Pimlico. Probably with some Hennessy in his thermos.
Oh, it's delicious.
Not for him.
Oh, we can't share Hennessy?
For her. You were too little. I love his grandma.
She's dead.
Well, you can still love people in their spirit.
I guess. Anyway, I won $11. I'll never forget it. I won $11 at Pimlico. It was not a place for kids, but they had no rules against it. The concert was, so I'm not a Bruno Mars like fan, but the concert, he puts on a great show. Like it was awesome. Yeah, that's
what I like his songs. Like I turned on, like I knew every single one that he played. It was only like a 45 minute set.
It takes you 30 seconds to learn the words to any song. Like you hear a song once and then the next time.
No, Bruno Mars hits, you hear them all the time.
I don't know the words to any of his verses. Like
I know, but it's not that I heard it once. Like you hear Bruno Mars songs a lot.
In general, you know the words to us. You was rapping on the way to the football. Like you, words, songs you don't listen to. You listen to them once.
But I hear them a lot. Like so.
I know. So I guess maybe you hear them differently than
my
anyone else.
Best parenting moment is what he's referring to. I was rapping on the way to the football game. My son, I let him pick his songs before his games. And he was rapping with me. Dominique was coming from our house because we were somewhere else and had forgotten his cleats at home. So Dominique went to pick up the cleats and then I waited and left with him and we met at the game. So I called Dominique. She's like, oh, by the way, did you also get a big water bottle? Because we don't have one of those. And he had gotten, of course, because he's the best. But when I called, it was in the middle or it was towards the end of Dreams and Nightmares. And my son like really doesn't like when his songs are interrupted. And I know this about him. So I was like, okay, I'm going to wait. But then I waited for most of the song. But then I was like, no, I don't want Daddy to leave yet. So I need to call
graphic
him.
Part.
And so, and it was leaving a really graphic line because I forgot to do the edited version.
I play edited songs for him. Like, it's not that hard.
I search the song and I press go and it's like 50-50 if I hit the edited one or if I don't. Turns out this one wasn't the edited one. So then later my son was like, you turned my song off. And I was like, no, I didn't. And I was like, no. He was like, nah, because when you called Daddy, like it cut off and you didn't go back to it. I was like, yes, it did. So it was like four lines left. Something about the rollies when you heard. But I did that part for him and he was so proud. And then I was like, what is it? You feel like the Dope Boys when they first touch them bricks or something. And he didn't know that bricks is what they were saying. He thought it was another B word that like he shouldn't say. He was like, oh no, mom, you don't know the real words. So then I found myself explaining to him what it means to have a rollie touch your wrist and how that's the same as a Dope Boy first touching his first brick.
Gosh.
And then, but he mom was so proud of me because I knew it. And I was like, I'm out. I'm out or I'm gone. Whatever
I think
his
it's,
last,
I'm gone.
Okay. Whatever last his thing. Last line is like, I hit at the time I got it right. And I've never seen my son look prouder of me and not even question me. Like once I explained it once, why it was Dope Boys and Bricks, he was like, okay, I learned something new today. Rarely can I teach this mother effer anything. So I won that day. And I didn't curse just now. Oh my gosh. I'm like an edited track.
He is exactly. He is very excited and slightly concerned about me being the coach. It's because he believes.
Why is he concerned?
He believes I'm going to be harder on him than anybody. It's like I'm not going to be hard on anybody, but there are things that like the stuff that I think that the coach allows some of the kids to do because he's their coach and not as familiar with them is like arguing with the refs and stuff like that. Like, nah, we put an end to that. You guys are 10, 11 years old. Don't talk to
the
grown man.
He raised his voice at
it bothers me when I see them.
Like, and some of the parents on the side, I'll be like, but they're right though. And I'm like,
that ain't the point. It bothers me when I see them arguing with these 25-year-old, 28-year-old grown men about a penalty. Get your little ass back in the huddle. That is where we were.
He's not an edited track.
Ass is not a cuss word.
Yes, it is.
We only got to beat that out.
Well, it's because it also means a donkey, but my mom raised me to believe it was a cuss word.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have said it to my mother, but it's not like you can say ass on ABC television. You watch.
Really?
Yeah. So I was thinking about that. There are a few things that I got a little excited about coaching a team that I think important to me. I'm not excited. I don't want to coach a team. I've had children for 12 years
excited.
Now, and I've avoided coaching them. You're making me coach this team because you're the general manager. But anyway. Run to the ball. Another thing they don't do, I don't like.
What do you mean, run to the ball?
When someone catches it, the whole defense needs to go to the ball. Like, you can't rely on the person to pull the flag. Other than that, we're good. That, don't yell at the refs and run to the ball. That's all. And be positive. That's it. We're not going to have people, because sometimes they get mad at each other for giving up a play or something. It ain't the NFL. Sit y'all little butts down somewhere. One thing I saw at the Bruno Mars concert that I wanted to bring up that drove me a little crazy, and it's, I don't know why it's never come to my attention before, but there were people there who had like a whole person on their shoulders. And I was like, yeah, I guess that's a concert thing. And I guess I would do it because I love you that much. But I feel like I ain't here. Like, I want to enjoy myself, too. It's just
he really was like upset about this.
I felt bad.
And it was
for my
out
man.
In the rain, too. So we were in like a covered part that was up higher and like we were in stools. We were fine.
Than heavy in the rain.
But it was like festival style. So people were like standing, you know, outside in the rain in front. And he spotted several people on other people's shoulders. You made an assumption. You couldn't see the person below. It could have been a woman holding other woman up.
It was definitely a man.
Oh, you saw?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But he was like really upset about this. It's like we're here, you have a drink, there's a concert, and this is what you're going to focus on. I was like, don't worry. I would never ask you, even when you jokingly try to lift me up at home, I'm like, no, I'm too heavy, put me down, I'll hurt you. Like
it's not even
so
about
I would never
hurt.
Do that just, don't worry, chill.
It just seems absurd. No, I wasn't upset, concerned about me. Like, I don't think I married a monster, but
the person is not a monster.
You're a monster. You are a monster. You're like, all right, we're gonna sit here for this 2-hour concert and I'm gonna be on your damn shoulders.
Yeah,
I would like you to enjoy the show too. Maybe I care about you.
Maybe like for her favorite song.
Okay, I mean, I got you for 2 minutes, 30 seconds. We're good. One song here or there. Yeah. I don't know, but I mean, the whole concert, just somebody on your shoulder just seems.
Yeah, no, I would never do that. Even like sometimes like it was muddy and I listened to my friends. Sometimes, guys, you should not listen to your friends. Sometimes you should listen to yourself, okay? Like, trust yourself, especially when you get to an age.
Husband, who also was like, just wear flats.
Especially when you trust yourself. I'm not going to say trust your husband. When I'm saying trust yourself. Trust yourself, okay? When you
I
get to
we were
an
one.
Age.
Is that what getting married is about?
Okay. When you get to an age where, like, you know. So I'm texting my friends who are there. But the thing is, they were there all day for the races. So, like, they're in their fascinators or their hats and their nice dresses. So I felt a little out of place going. Like, when I thought it was just a concert, like, we've been to this before and it was the day before the actual races. So you could wear, like, jeans. But this was right after the races and, like, kind of. There were some separate tickets sold, but a lot of people were doing everything. So I was like, I can't just show up in ripped jeans. Like, even that's what I would wear to a concert. I should look like I was at the races a little bit, but not really. Like, I didn't actually look like I was at the races. But I asked all my friends who were there, and they're like, or not all, but a couple of my friends were there, and they're like, wear heels. So I come in some heels. Luckily, they're like comfortable. There's one type of heel I like that's pretty comfortable. You know, they're cute. They have like a wider base on the bottom. And it was muddy and we had to like walk from the horse track to, and I was going to wear just tennis shoes, like Converses. We had to walk from the horse track to the tent where the, you know, viewing deck was. And the whole time I was feeling mud up under my like balls of my toes. It hurt. I was like, why didn't I just listen to myself? So listen to yourself is all. Trust yourself.
Good.
That's
party
the
advice.
Message.
Trust yourself.
That I have.
And not me, because I said the same thing.
But he's a man. Like, I was like, yeah, okay. In this case, you could have also trusted Dominique. But generally, you need to trust yourself.
Oh, man. Well, you looked great either way.
Thank you.
Whether you had on flats or heels.
Thank you. And, like, they weren't uncomfortable. So, actually, I'm like, what other colors are on sale on those? Because I can walk in those. I'm joking. JK,
no,
LOL.
I mean, the only part that you're joking about is because you probably own all the colors already. So, no need to buy anymore unless they came with some new colors. Did they invent some new colors for you? No good.
I do not, Dominique. I do not. Like, you don't even understand. But I'm not going to buy them. I'm not going to buy them. I'm joking.
What don't I understand?
How many colors there are in them.
Oh, okay. I thought you was going to make me embarrass you in front of all these people.
Can't do it.
Well, you should be embarrassed, but you may not be about the fact that you have an entire separate walk-in shoe closet.
Does this look like the face of someone who's embarrassed?
Bye.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.